It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Verrett.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In last week's election, Republicans held onto a majority in Wisconsin State Senate with 18 seats compared to 15 for Democrats.
Previously, Republicans had held a supermajority controlling 22 of the state's Senate's 33 seats.
The Republican caucus elected a new leader to a top position in the Senate, selecting Mary Felskowski of Tomahawk as Senate president.
Felskowski is a state senator representing Wisconsin's 12th Senate district in northern Wisconsin, including Marinette, Oneida, and Vilas counties. She joins us now for a look at top priorities for the next 2 years in the Senate, including the next state budget. Senator Felskowski, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Before we dig into particular issues, Senator Felskowski, our reporters were following candidates on the campaign trail, and in some competitive seats, they were hearing things from Democrats and Republicans along the lines of, hey, I'm somebody who can work with the other side. I could be bipartisan. They're saying it as a selling point. Do you see opportunities for bipartisan cooperation, both among your colleagues in the state legislature and with a Democratic governor, Republican-controlled legislature?
So I think, you know, we saw candidates, the Democratic candidates that ran, whether it was Jody, Sarah, Mr. Wall up in the Green Bay area, you know, they ran on tax cuts. They ran on backing police, fire, and those are very much Republican priorities. So I'm hoping when those tax cuts come forward, put forward by Republicans, and, you know, backing police, fire, EMS, criminal justice, public safety, I'm hoping that they stay true to their campaign promises and that they vote with us. And, you know, that they promise their citizens and their constituents that that's how they felt during the campaign. And I hope that they do intend to work in that bipartisan manner with their Republican colleagues and stay true to those campaign promises. So I very much hope that we can work in a bipartisan manner on the issues that were most important to constituents.
A cynical listener might have heard that statement and said, you're hoping that you get lots of bipartisanship from Democrats. Do you see opportunities where you can meet them halfway?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think what people forget is that 94% of the bills that pass in this House pass bipartisan. You wouldn't know it by the media, but we do pass a lot of bipartisanship measures in this House. I'm looking forward to working with the governor, you know, on a lot of issues, roads, but we are not going to move away from conservative values. You know, we're not going to do a lot of new government programs. That's not a conservative value. But where we can find common ground, absolutely. Healthcare, you know, bringing down the cost of healthcare in the state, you know, investing in our infrastructure, investing in schools. Those are all very much bipartisan issues, and we will look forward to working on those issues.
Let's dig more into those issues you just brought up. Healthcare costs. What do you see as opportunities for state government to help people dealing with both the cost of healthcare and access as we see some hospitals in rural parts of the state closing?
You just opened up a two-hour conversation for me because this is one of the things that I am most passionate on. So we've seen in other areas of the nation as well under, you know, the Trump administration the last time before he left, he put hospital price transparency into place. We then seen governor in Colorado and a very bipartisan working group in Colorado pass hospital price transparency. Now, it came online early last year. And we're seeing how that has really started to take effect and put competition into effect, where people actually know the cost of their health care before they have a procedure done. I mean, I just appeal to everyone. What do you purchase that you don't know the cost before you purchase it? Two-thirds of the people in the state of Wisconsin, actually 80%, are insured on ERISA plans. If employers knew what costs were, they could actually build out low-cost, high-quality plans, because that's the one thing that we have found is there is no connection or correlation between cost and quality. If employers had this data, they could contract with the lowest cost and the highest quality providers and help their employees actually find the best quality at the lowest cost, and it would eventually start driving down those costs statewide. Hospitals tell me that they are struggling on costs. And I don't disbelieve that, and that they need more dollars from the state and the Medicaid side. And I would love my hospital partners to come to the table, be transparent in their pricing, my insurance partners to be transparent in their pricing. We have legislation for both of those. All payer claims database so that we can get a handle on the cost for my constituents. Because the saddest thing I see out there is people are not going to the doctor. They're not afraid of the diagnosis. They're afraid of medical bankruptcy. They're afraid of the cost. And then when they finally do go, their conditions are exacerbated, which again drives up costs, but it also really, people are going in too late. They're not catching things early enough, which then impacts their lives very negatively. It impacts our workforce. It's just very negative to the whole economy, both socially for people as well as financially. And that is not something we want. And it's something that we could address at the state level. That is something that we've had great conversations amongst our caucus. And I'm hoping that that's something that we can come together and really work on.
We're talking to Republican State Senator Mary Felskowski of Tomahawk. She'll serve as president of the state Senate in the next session. Senator Felskowski, a lot of eyes on Wisconsin's budget surplus, projected $4 billion-ish. You and Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu have both talked about your priorities for that. What is on your mind?
So the first thing, and I haven't sat down with Fiscal Bureau yet, it's kind of been a little bit of a whirlwind. I want to know, you know, how much of that budget surplus is one-time money, how much of that budget surplus is ongoing. If it's one-time money, we're going to do what we did last time. We're going to use it on one-time projects, infrastructure maintenance, not bonding, but we'll use it for capital build-out, capital projects. Reinvest in our parks, reinvest in maintenance on our capital buildings, you know, UW systems, instead of bonding. Just like we did last time. If it's ongoing, then we're going to look at how much of that is needed for continuing our state, moving our state forward. We know our Medicaid budget always picks up, you know, a large portion of our ongoing revenue. But then if we've got that kind of a surplus, we've taken too much from our taxpayers. So that's when we sit down with the Assembly and with the East Wing and we say, okay, we need to give some of this money back to our taxpayers.
That all rolls into
and how do we do that?
That all rolls into next year's state budget, the 2-year state budget, really the biggest job for state government. In addition to, you know, looking at the state of the surplus and looking at those tax cuts, what else is at the top of your priority list for the next state budget?
So I think, you know, it's moving Wisconsin forward. You know, we always like to throw money at things. And of course, we have our schools are our priority. Senior citizens are a priority. Roads are a priority. But it's not always about money. We have to make sure that we have the workforce out there to complete all the jobs. You know, healthcare, mental health is a priority, but we have to have providers, not just throw money at it. So there's going to be a lot of things. You know, we haven't sat down with our caucus. You know, elections were just last week. Everybody's, you know, getting reintroduced to everything. And we're going to sit down with our caucus members, have meetings with them, and, you know, gain ideas from our caucus. We'll have listening sessions with all of our constituents. And that's where we gain a lot of our ideas. See where that's at.
I want to talk about state and tribal relations. There's been this dispute between the Lac-Da-Flambeau tribe and their local community over right of way. A very long story. You've been drawn into that in some cases. What do you see as the role of the state Senate in working with Wisconsin's tribes and building a positive relationship?
So I was just at the tribal committee yesterday up in Green Bay. I think the state has a very positive relationship with our tribal partners. You know, they have some ideas. We did some packages last year, housing packages. We're going to work to see if we can't include the tribes in that. There's some nuances to that. We have to work with WIDA in order to allow that to happen, and that's a long conversation. It's a little bit too long to go into. There's some caveats to that. And I think there's things that we can do as a state government to help the tribes and help them enrich the lives of their members. I think they do a good job now, but there's more that can be done. I'm very disappointed in the leadership at Lac-Da-Flambeau. There's been numerous opportunities for them. They've called for meetings. You know, the state government has showed up for those meetings, and in the 24th hour, then they failed to show up. They keep moving the needle on what they're asking for. And in all honesty, when it comes to treaties, there isn't a lot the state can do. These are federal issues, and we don't have a lot of control. I applaud Governor Evers. He has gone there. He has tried to talk with them. He's tried to encourage them to come to the table and negotiate a sit-down and a final settlement. But the Chairman Johnson just doesn't seem to want to have that happen. So I think now this is going to have to be accomplished at the federal level with the Bureau of Indian Affairs and our representation, whether it's our congressional delegation or our senators. They're the ones that are going to actually have to make this happen. And I hope they do it soon, because Chairman Johnson is now threatening to add roads and throw the barricades up again in January. So I'm very saddened by it. At the tribal committee yesterday, I know that some of the other tribal members have expressed that they feel this is hurting tribal relations, not only in the state of Wisconsin, but in some of our neighboring states. And I don't disagree with that. I would like to see a resolution to that. It's very much affecting the people that live up there, both from a stress standpoint. It's very sad.
We'll leave it there for now. Senator Falskowski, thanks for joining us today.
I appreciate the call. Thank you.
That's Republican State Senator Mary Falskowski of Tomahawk, who was recently elected president of the state Senate. We've been talking with her about the Senate's priorities for the new legislative session, including the state's health care system and the $4 billion budget surplus. Hey, elections are done. What questions do you want asked to your elected officials? Let us know about it. Our news team has a comment box up at WPR.org, or you can email us, wisconsintoday@WPR.org. That's wisconsintoday@WPR.org.